waited for a week, but now part two of the greatest WrestleMania match bracket, the watch along is happening. Our winner is announced tonight, and that's on an all new episode of the podcast, and that starts right now. Coming to you from the Forgotten Borough of Staten Island, New York, this is the Wrestling Guys Podcast. This is the fans' perspective on all things in the world of WWE and the world of professional wrestling. We are your hosts. I'm Eric, otherwise known as Fizz. With me, as always, my tag team partner, Chris Never Miss, a.k.a. Commander Krazeez. The second half of the watch-along of the greatest WrestleMania match bracket. Our winner is chosen tonight, but you know we're not doing it until we get the clink. Socially distant, but we're having a good time. Here you go for everybody at home. Let's start the show. And how are we doing? Did you like my Commander Krazeez one? That's in reference to Commander Aziz, a.k.a. Dabakato, a.k.a. Babatunde.
Oh, is that his name now?
Apollo Crews's, I guess, protege? Or
his heavy?
Commander of his army that he doesn't have? I don't know. Yeah, it's very weird. I do like the fact that, you know, they act like we didn't know he was on Raw Underground for most of the summer. And, you know, we called him Dabakato, and then he was drafted to Raw. And now he's on SmackDown as Commander Aziz, but you know, whatever. Also using the spike as the finisher.
I saw that when he debuted.
The Nigerian Nev, as Apollo Crews likes to say with his fake accent.
Why do they have to do the accent?
I think it's unnecessary. But I also think that for a guy like Dabakato being so big, the spike, I guess, man, I don't know. I feel like for him, they need something else. But then again, like, not, you know, every big man either does a powerbomb or a chokeslam, so maybe the spike kind of works. I don't know. For me, it remains to be seen. Maybe it's good, maybe it sucks. I don't know. For now, I didn't like the way he did it, but, you know, who knows. Umaga did it pretty cool, so.
Yeah, I was just going to say reminiscent of Umaga.
Yeah, but then when Glacier used it as a finisher and called it the ice pick, it sucked. It's hit or miss. It's hit or miss. But, yeah, we're here. We decided to wait a week because we wanted to cover our WrestleMania. That's our last episode, if you guys want to go back to that. So thank you for, you know, downloading and listening, getting us where you could have got all your wrestling podcasts as usual. But we're doing it. We finished it. We're about to finish it, better yet. I was hoping that Peacock would be semi up and running, but I just told him before we went on the show that I hate Peacock. It sucks. Dude, there's like no match markers. Now you got to fast forward through the whole thing. I'm hoping for the best when I stop it. We got it kind of queued up. I think we're pretty much on the same page here. We got our matches together, but we're going to start off with WrestleMania 25, right? What some people would consider the greatest WrestleMania match of all time.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, that first WrestleMania match. If you ask almost any wrestling fan, I'm sure that this one is either number one or it's up there on their list. And I have a feeling that there's a pretty good chance that it might be number one for us, but I mean, we'll get there.
I mean, it has heavy competition coming out of their bracket. Now it's having even heavier competition just to get into the finals here, right? It's going against the end of an era, Hell in a Cell, another Undertaker match, but at the tail end of Undertaker's career, he was putting on match after match after match that was just incredible. And that's him and Triple H, with Shawn Michaels as a special guest referee. So just to backtrack, doing a little history on this, right? Shawn Michaels and Undertaker do have quite the history together prior to WrestleMania, but they never had a WrestleMania match. They did the first Hell in a Cell match together. That was a five-star match between the two of them. Shawn Michaels went over there. Correct me if I'm wrong. Prior to this WrestleMania, has Undertaker never beat Shawn Michaels before this match? Or am I wrong in that case?
No, I don't think you're wrong. So the first time they went one-on-one was in your house, Ground Zero, and there was no winner for that. That led to the Hell in a Cell match where Kane debuted on the Shawn Michaels won that. And then you have the casket match at Royal Rumble 98 where Shawn Michaels, that's where he injured his back, but he also won that match due to Kane's interference. And then that was it. So this is, the first time that Undertaker would beat Shawn Michaels. And then, of course, he would end Michaels' career the next year.
That's crazy. So you would have two back-to-back matches. This was, for me, I hadn't seen this. I hadn't watched wrestling consistently up until this point. I remember you said you were ordering it. I remember going to your house.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, wow, Shawn Michaels and Undertaker facing off. And when we watched this match, both me and you were like, holy shit, this match is great.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of in and out with my fandom at this point. Like, I kept track of what was going on, but I just didn't watch it on a regular basis at this point. You know, there was just like, you know, early 20s, you're going out a lot and you're hanging out with people and stuff like that. And wrestling was just on the back burner at this point for me anyway. And yeah, I was just like, I remember you saying you were ordering. We ordered it, and we were watching it at your house. I remember seeing this match, and being like, and this was the one that stood out the most. This one and the Jericho against the Three Legends match, because I remember freaking Ricky Steamboat put on a show, and I was like, I thought that was awesome.
It was.
That was like one of the highlights of the night. But I remember when we watched this match, I was like, holy shit! And then this specifically didn't get me back into wrestling full time, but I started. Like the occasional Raw, I would sit down and watch here and there. I still kept in, like I said, and I still kept in, you know, up with what was going on. You know, reading various websites or just, you know, watching clips of stuff here and there, but never actually sitting down to watch a full show. And this is where I kind of went in my slump for a little bit there. But this match, if again, we're not saying if it's either one or two, a number of people. So the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Pro Wrestling Illustrated both named it their match of the year. Wade Keller would give it a 5 out of 5. And I think, so surprisingly, Dave Meltzer actually gave it four. We just talked about this, 4.25 stars, so 4.75. I don't know why he didn't give this a 5-star rating. I've never read his review for this actual match. And I'm interested now that I've seen that rating that I kind of want to go back and see what brought it down for him.
Yeah,
as a 4.75 star match, I'm very interested in that because to me, and you know, he's a fan. He's a wrestling journalist, but he's a fan. The star ratings that he gives, and I know we've been giving him out here and there, but you know, he's a respected, and I use that loosely, but some people do respect his opinion. But his star ratings are his opinion; they're not gospel. Right. Because he may like a match, you know. We know that he's very, very heavy on the Japanese wrestling. He loves Japanese wrestling. He's very, very critical of WWE. Sometimes it does come off as like he almost has like a agenda or vendetta against them for whatever reason. He's been praising AEW. He's all on the AEW bandwagon recently. And again, this is one man's opinion. Just like we have an opinion of what our favorite wrestling main match is, and fans that are listening right now have their own opinion, you know. But it's good to get multiple perspectives. That's what I'm trying to nail at here. You know, some people 5 out of 5. His was 4.75. Me and you may give it 5 out of 5. There may be, I don't know who, but there may be some random mark out there who thinks this match sucks. I don't know. You know, whatever. That guy sucks, whoever he is. I'm making him up, but whatever. You know, it's just, it's good multiple perspectives. For me, like, and you know, once we get into it, I don't know what a 5-star match looks like. If I give something 5 stars, like I gave the WrestleMania main event night 2 5-stars, my personal 5 stars, that to me is... You know, like if I don't know what it is, but if that's not a 5-star match, then I don't know what the fuck a 5-star match is. You know, you get what I'm saying? Like, I
don't know. I think ratings it's just on how you feel about what you're watching, right? And I think that goes for anything, whether it's, you know, a wrestling match or a TV show or a movie. You know, everything is based on ratings. When you look at Rotten Tomatoes scores for movies, you know, you look at, you know, when Roger Ebert was around, you know, Ebert and Roper, 2 thumbs up, and you know, of course, Meltzer and his thoughts, but it's just how you feel about what you're watching. I mean, there's no right or wrong answer about what's good and what's not good. It's just all perspective and whether or not you like something. Me personally, with that said, I don't know how someone can watch this match and say that it's not good. I mean, if there are people out there that say that it's not good or give it less than, you know, 5 stars or even 4.5 stars, it's definitely like, it almost feels like there's almost an agenda to that sometimes when somebody goes against the grain. I don't really know what a 5-star match looks like because I don't think there really is a way to determine. It's just how you feel about something. You know, like what made Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada a 6-star match? You know, that's just how Dave Meltzer felt when he was watching it.
Okay, so... So as you were explaining that just now, I was actually trying to attempt to pin down Meltzer's opinion. Looking at a Reddit post, like I actually posted several clips, and most people attribute the reason why he didn't give it the full 5 stars was because of the botch dive that Undertaker did at the beginning of the match. But basically, he said that no, he felt that the botch actually added to the match, added to the story. When he was asked why he didn't give it the full 5 stars. He said it basically boils down to that it didn't feel like a 5-star match to me. He has said a million times that when he's rating a match, that if he's going back and forth between 4.75 and 5, he will go with the 4.75 because it's missing that intangible that makes it to the top of the list. And thank you to this guy who wrote this. But on the flip side, Meltzer has also said, if it's a 5-star match to you, then it's a freaking 5 stars, because your rating is your rating and my rating is my rating. It's your opinion as much as you bring to the table. I guess it doesn't feel like a 5-star match. Yeah, I'm at a loss. I don't know what to say to that crap. and that's, you know what? And speaking of which, since we're at what is a 5-star? What is a 5-star match? I'm going to ask you this. I'll give you some time to think about this, but what is a 5-star match to you? And I want you to hold off until the end of this match.
Okay.
And I think that's a perfect way to do it. We can segue right into this match. So if you're on the shitty ass Peacock app or the website, we queued up WrestleMania season 25 episode 1 because I don't know why they fucking separated into seasons instead of just calling it WrestleMania 25, but whatever. Again, that might be a show for another day. We're at 1 hour 52 minutes 38 seconds. It's the very, very tail end of Undertaker's and HBK's little video package, and we're going right into Shawn Michaels' entrance. So, Chris, if you're queued up.
I'm ready.
Yeah, we're going to go in 3, 2, 1. I hate Peacock. Play. So we have some sounds here. We have Shawn Michaels descending from the rafters, dressed in all white, which I actually thought was a cool, you said you liked that entrance.
Yeah, this is a cool entrance that he did here. And he's kind of playing the heel role for this match.
Yeah. And really taunting Undertaker, right? You know, he's the dead man. He walks with the devil, but, you know, this, that, and the third. And then at the same time, you know, here's Michaels, born again Christian. Right, dressing all white, looking angelic, coming down the white smoke. I thought this really, really plays really, really well, man.
How interesting is it that the guy who is the born again Christian, basically criticizing Undertaker for his dark ways, is playing the heel?
Yeah, I know. You're
not like the God fearing man's playing the heel.
It is the bot, right? The God fearing, but at the same time, they could also play off of the almost like religious zealot. You know, maybe you know. Really, really
crazy,
overtly religious, yeah, to the point of maybe mania, not to you know, turn a phrase in WrestleMania, but you get what I'm saying, like, yeah, like really just, you know, really, like, you know, really, really strong in his conviction, strong in his beliefs, you know, and considering that, you know, he used to tell people to suck it for a while too, you know, it's like, and there he is with the brown, he loves the brown, you know.
Yeah, but this is much better than that.
The Doodle Brown. Yeah. Yes, I wholeheartedly agree here.
Which we did review in a past episode, so go back and check out the Elimination Chamber watch along that we did.
Oh, absolutely. Doodle Brown pants galore. This is almost like a gold-ish brown.
Yeah, this works. I like this. But as you were saying before, that you kind of fell off with wrestling at this point, so did I. I think... The last time that I religiously, when I was religiously ordering pay-per-views every month for like a good 8-year stretch, the last time that I did it was Royal Rumble 2008. And then I didn't order another pay-per-view until this WrestleMania.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, and it was because of this match.
Yeah. I mean, there you go. That shows you the gravity of the match, right? I mean, I had fallen off big time too. I mean, we used to go back and forth. Like, oh, you order, I order, you order, I order. And I mean, first of all, thank God for the network, right? I mean, imagine paying those prices now. Be spending a small fortune for it, right? But this is for me, yeah. Like, I'm like really on the downswing of my fandom, and I'll be the first to admit, I'm not the biggest fan of the guy. I think he's a great wrestler, but it was CM Punk's promo that actually got me into watching it full time again. Because it was just something. First of all, it's a great promo. It's phenomenal. But it was just something about it that I was like, okay, I felt like they were going in a different direction, you know? And it just, that's when I started watching it on a more consistent basis. And I kind of haven't looked back.
Yeah, I think that might be the case for me as well. With his infamous pipe bomb.
Yeah. Damn you, Phil. So here's Michael calling the call here. We have Shawn Michaels now. This is in Reliance Stadium in Houston, right? This is last time I was in Houston was in X7, WrestleMania X7, I believe.
Right. So they had an attendance of 72,744 people.
Jeez, that is a ton.
Which is a lot of people.
And you're following what some consider the greatest WrestleMania of all time at Houston.
Yep.
Look at that stare by Shawn Michaels. Intense. He's starting off the bat, right? He's not. He plays to the crowd a little bit, and the minute the gong hit, he got really serious. He got focused, right? He knows the camera's on him. He's a showman, dude. He is the showstopper, right? I mean, but he's there instantly. And that's what I love, you know, right off the bat. You know, most of these guys would be like warming up, back and forth. He's locked on.
Is he the greatest of all time, in your opinion?
Greatest in-ring performer? I think absolutely.
Yeah, I think I would agree.
And I would say, hey, here's the thing. I think I would say greatest in-ring performer is Shawn Michaels, and I think the greatest character of all time is The Undertaker.
Okay. I think that one's probably a little more debatable.
I think it's up for debate, but I feel like in terms of longevity, changing with the times, and the length of the character going from 1991 to 2020, I mean, that's incredible. I mean, it's a testament to, you know, Mark Calloway, the man playing Undertaker and constantly living the gimmick. But, I mean, even Vince McMahon, I think, has gone on record saying The Undertaker is his greatest creation. And that's the guy who started Hulkamania, right? I mean.
Yeah. I mean, you figure you got Hogan, you got Stone Cold, you got The Rock.
All the top guys that have come through. Macho Man, Randy Savage, you know, like stuff like that. And he says, this is it, you know. And that was great.
It's hard to argue.
It is, but I mean, you know, there is room. So if we say Shawn Michaels is the greatest in-ring performer, do we throw any of these two guys on the Mount Rushmore of wrestling, Undertaker or Shawn Michaels?
See, I think when it comes to the Mount Rushmore question, I think you can have multiple Mount Rushmores for different things. I think you can have the Mount Rushmore for in-ring performers for guys like Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair. I think you can have a Mount Rushmore for stars, you know, guys who are like the top superstars of the business. That's Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold, John Cena, you know, and then you can do another one for people like The Undertaker, Triple H, you know, The Rock would be on one of them. I think it's such a loaded question, and there's really... I mean, you can interchange it so much, and I don't think any of it would be wrong. You know,
I think you have your overall, let's say, of all time, and then you have like your like greatest in-ring performers category. Yeah, you have like those like little subcategories. You could really just break it down into a million. You just have a row of Rushmores. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because there's so many that probably deserve a spot there, like Randy Savage, like Andre the Giant. I would say Sting deserves a spot somewhere there. It depends on how far back you want to go. You know, even if you want to go back to like the days of Bruno Sammartino, you know, where does he stand?
See, that's the thing. Like, I would probably throw Bruno on there, but for my personal Mount Rushmore, he's not. Right. You know, so there is a big debate there, I would say, you know, but you can't deny Bruno's place in history. But for me, I wasn't around for the Sammartino years, you know.
Right.
You know, and I'd probably throw Bret Hart in mine. You know, we've actually discussed this. That might be a good conversation to bring back for another episode, because we have discussed in the very, very early days of this podcast, but I think it's definitely something good to revisit. And as we're talking, Undertaker's still walking to the ring, so hence why we're trying to fill time here, because it's a very long entrance. And JR in the call too, I just realized as well. At this point, so Undertaker is 16-0 or 17-0? I think they're just anticipating that he'll be 17-0.
Yeah, 16-0, yeah.
And Shawn Michaels still hasn't taken his eyes off of him.
And it's crazy that the streak wasn't really a thing, I think, until up to WrestleMania 21, when Undertaker fought Randy Orton.
Yeah, and that's when they kind of brought it to the forefront. Yeah. And they said a lot of people didn't even realize it until Michael Hayes pointed it out and said, you know, you're undefeated at WrestleMania. And then it was like, oh, we got something here. I'm going to kill the sound here for this particular, as the match is starting here. So we have both of them across the ring, face to face. Undertaker with his heavy eyeliner on. Looks good, though. And Shawn Michaels hasn't taken his eyes off of Taker since the gong hit, which is pretty, you know, this is pretty great here. Now, like when they call, we used to call him the best pure striker in WWE, The Undertaker.
Michael Cole's the worst.
Yeah, but, you know, I know we're talking about worst. Is there anybody worse than Justin Roberts as a ring announcer? Have we discussed this?
No, we haven't. And I would agree with you on that. Yeah, absolutely. I do not like the way that he announces people to the ring.
I hate when he does it now in AEW, the way he announces Jon Moxley like he used to do John Cena with the
It's annoying. It's annoying.
It's like, I don't need it. So, you know, maybe don't do it. And I like that. So Undertaker is significantly taller than Michaels. Michaels at this point has very, very low muscle mass than what he used to do in the 90s. He's significantly thinner. He's very, very lean at this point in his career. So he's relying on his speed to go through Taker in this point, you know. And then Undertaker, obviously, the bigger of the two, going to rely on his strength, his striking. But then here's Michaels again. But I like that. So he ducked under a few times, chopped him. And now this time, Taker grabbed the wrist and just fucking flings him into the corner. Jeez, my God. And this is why he injured his back the first time. Because he just puts his body at risk at like crazy times like that. Oh, tells him to suck it. I like this here. Okay, this is a good part right here. He jumps over Leapfrog. Yeah. He's like playing with the knee. He pushes the ref away and then he jumps on him. A little modified Dez press there. Now the referee for this match, and I'm trying to get his name right here.
Is that Chad Cordero?
It might be. But so he was on maybe a year or so ago on Jericho's podcast talking about this match. Jericho and him actually broke this match down and talked about it again. And he was saying how originally Lil Nate was going to do this match. And he had a good relationship with Taker and Michaels. And when he mentioned that he didn't have a match, he was on the pre-show, Michaels actually got him to referee this match using his influence, him and Taker. And he said that he got a lot of heat for being in this match. And a lot of the referees came up to him and said, you should give it back to Lil Nate. You should give it back to him. He said that he caught a lot of heat, and he feels like that's why he ended up being released maybe a couple of years later. We're going to talk about the moment too. The missed dive over the top that Jimmy Snuka Jr., I believe, right, is the one who's supposed to catch Taker and never did. Yeah. The original plan was to have the ref catch him because they've done it a bunch of times, and Taker wanted to do it. And he said that after he got released, he saw a Taker at a convention. And he had said to him, you know what, you should have been the one that caught me. Mm-hmm. And he said that he felt good about that, you know, because, you know, he always felt like, you know, they had a good relationship. But imagine getting heat for two top wrestlers wanting to ref your match. You know, it's pretty incredible when you hear about those politics of the wrestling business.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's the politics of pro wrestling.
Unbelievable. I didn't realize that Taker has, it looks like rosary beads on his tights. Does it look like that? I thought it was a snake at first. Yeah, Taker going for the old school here. I don't know how he did that all those years. And those ropes have incredible give to it too. Because for as heavy as he is, those ropes go really well. Taker's already bleeding here. Maybe a little like a little nick on the cheek there. Going for the big boot. Yikes. And that looks like Michael's working on the knee there. So that this is good here. So again, trying to chop him down, working on the leg, right? Then he goes a chop block right here. So how am I gonna cut him down to size? I'm gonna work a body part. Or attempt to work a body part.
It's been a while since I've watched this match.
I want to say I watched it. Like I said, me and my son were trying to watch last year during lockdown. We were like, you know, watching everything. We decided to go into almost like a modified sharpshooter here. I think he's trying to go off here. But we decided to watch all of Undertaker's WrestleMania matches. And when we watched it then, it was the first time I had watched it in a long time, and it was incredible. So, okay, so he tried to do a figure four, but he's doing it wrong. Oh, there you go. There's your 4.75 there. The fact that he missed the figure four, he kind of screwed it up.
Oh, who cares?
There you go. That's a quarter of a star for me. That's it. It's down.
By the way, happy birthday to your youngest son.
Yes, 1 year old. A little pandemic baby. Born in the height of it. He passed out. Had a couple of donuts and some pizza, and he was done.
Nice. It's a way to go.
I mean, yeah, I almost did it myself. So I was like, oh, well, then I got to get up and do some recording. So what's good about this is, okay, so we were joking around, obviously. Michaels did screw up the figure four, but he grapevined Taker's legs together, and now he's working the knee and pulling on it to make it feel like he's using his own leverage, you know, Undertaker's own leverage on his leg against him. And then here's Taker with the hit to get out of it. So that's it's a good sequence. He realized the mistake at this point and then worked the leg to help him, you know, break down the knee there. And now he's working the knee again, which is good.
So here's something I want to bring up, right? Michaels didn't do the figure four the way that we're used to seeing some people do it, like Ric Flair, Jeff Jarrett did it a lot. Do you think, I mean, they're not hard moves to do. I mean, as fans, we've all done them ourselves. You know, we put them on our siblings or whatever. Do you think that they mess it up on purpose? Like the figure four or the sharpshooter, like when they try to put it on, they mess it up on purpose because it's a way to protect the finisher of someone who, like Bret Hart, his finisher is a sharpshooter, so they're protecting it by doing it wrong.
See, I never thought about it that way. Now that you mention it, I always thought that I just feel like maybe in the heat of the moment, it's like, oh damn, which leg goes where? Oh fuck it, I'm gonna do it. You know, like, you know, one of those.
Yeah,
that's how I always perceived it. But at the same time, that does make sense. Like protecting the move, like, oh, he's doing the sharpshooter, but he doesn't do it like Bret, so he's not, you know. He doesn't have it perfected, so it's easier for him to get out, you know?
Right.
That's a good take, because I never thought about it in that sense.
Dropping the big leg.
But here's the thing, too. So you see Taker, like, a couple times trying to shake the leg out. You know, they say, like, get some blood flow back to it, whatever. He does a big boot. So if he's working on the knee here, and this is strictly nitpicking here, but if he's working on the knee, he's not really limping now at this point. And then he just dropped a leg drop where he falls on both of his legs, right? But he's not selling the knee now at this point. And here we go, crossface. Am I the only one that whenever I see a crossface happen, I kind of cringe because I think of Chris Benoit immediately? I don't. Is that just me there? I feel like every time I see him, I'm like, ah.
Yeah, I mean, I
shouldn't be eliminated, but it's just my own thing.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely quickly think of him and just think about the tragedy and just the awfulness that whole thing is.
I think I'm glad that like Daniel Bryan kind of does it, because now it's like kind of his thing. So I'm like, right. Okay, cool. You know, I can think of D. Bryan more, but
trying to reverse into a pin here. So he's got it on kind of weird. He's like, Undertaker's like sideways and
right. He doesn't have it on completely. So here's where I think it might have been intentional. To your point. Right? Because he doesn't have it fully locked in. He's not flat on his stomach, but he's still kind of pulling him in any which way. So at this point, if he's not trying to get him to submit, he's trying to get him out. So now he flattened himself out. So there you go.
Yeah.
You know? So at this point, it was like Taker trying to get out. So now he's in all types of distorted, you know, body movements. And now this is a way for him to get up to get out of it. So there I think, is where the intent was, for sure. Right into, side slam. Yeah, for the longest time, you used to just think those rings were just like big trampolines and they just bounce on them with no problem. Then you realize it's just sheets of plywood underneath, and it's like, man, that shit gotta hurt, man.
I've been in a wrestling ring and taken bumps, and it doesn't feel good. I've knocked my head a few times.
I can only imagine 20 years of doing it. Or 30, some of the old timers that still do it. It's incredible. So he no-sells the leg there, you know, the kick to the face, kind of just trading strikes back and forth. I like the fact that Michaels keeps ducking under, you know, like he just using his size, you know, his lack of size anyway, using his speed. It's the famous Michaels kip up here.
Kip up, yep, it's coming any minute now. Probably when Undertaker sits up, well, Michaels is going to kick up first.
Oh, not really. Just to kind of just...
Yeah, no sit-up by Undertaker there. And this was before Michael started getting his lazy eye.
The lazy eye?
Yeah.
You, you had pointed this out. I don't know.
Yeah,
don't,
Shawn Michaels has a lazy eye.
No way. Let me just, let me Google this.
I'm pretty sure he said he got it from Kane. Like, Kane kicked him in the face and that started, like, his eye problems.
Oh, yeah. Shawn Michaels' lazy eye. It's a whole article on it. Wow. Wow. He injured his eye in 2004.
Michael's coming off the top and gets grabbed in a
right into a choke slam.
Or he's going to attempt a choke slam. Yeah, Michael's got out of it. Going for the figure four again.
Couldn't this time. Oh, now gets him into the Hell's Gate. Yep. So that was a good moment there. You know, so then to your point now again, a big bald spot at the top of Michael's head. You could tell that his long hair was really just covering some stuff up there. But to your point, so maybe that figure four messing it up was intentional.
Right.
Because then now he's trying to get it on again, and then he gets pulled right into the Hell's Gate and has to, like, you know, go struggle to the ropes. No disqualification match with Kane. Took a nasty bump, and the lazy eye stuck for the rest of his career. But it wasn't severe enough to take time off from the company, and it wasn't even that noticeable until, like, years later. But as the years have progressed, it became more and more noticeable. And now I'm going to just look at his eye every time I see him. I didn't even realize that, man.
It's super noticeable now. Like, definitely can't look at him without looking at his eye.
Oh, man, poor Sean. Anyway, that's amazing. That's great. It's a little fun fact there for people out there. And I must not be a real fan because I don't know that. So the leg drop on the apron, right? So, you know, you have this supposed leg injury, but that's more like an ass bump, right? That got to hurt the ass there as opposed to the actual leg.
And that's the hardest part of the ring, so.
Yeah, it almost is like they kind of not gave up on using the knee in this part, but the knee was like the kind of the beginning stages of the match, because now Michaels at this point is not really targeting it anymore, you know, and Undertaker's kind of just no selling it, you know, almost like, yeah, he attacked me a little bit, now I'm okay.
Michaels now going for a moonsault to the outside.
I wonder why he never wanted to cover up that tattoo he has on his arm.
Oh.
Kind of, sort of a moonsault, but then Undertaker just literally just sidesteps it. It's just like, what happened? That was pretty incredible, man. Oh, man. That was
a hard landing he took.
That was gnarly, dude. And he's there holding his wrist. And maybe the way he kind of did the moonsault kind of wacky. Maybe intentional to maybe soften the blow of him not doing a complete backflip off the top.
Yeah, because, I mean, it looked rough.
Yeah, because, like, yep, no, it's not happening. Yeah, because, you know, the way he lands more on his side than he does, like, on his face, you see?
Yeah.
So maybe that was intentional there, too, as well. And I think this is the spot here. This is the suicide dive spot here over the top rope.
Yeah, this is tough to watch.
Really screw himself
up. When it's going to happen. Now, here's the thing. When you're Jimmy Snuka Jr., who would be, I think he was Deuce in the Deuce and Domino tag team.
Mm.
How do you forget what you're supposed to do?
Right. And you have one job to do that night.
You have one job to do. He's standing there as the cameraman. And you can see him creeping into the shot a little bit. He's standing there as the cameraman. And he's completely out of position. It's like, how do you forget?
Yeah. And here's the thing. Is he out of position?
Right, here it comes.
Michael's out of position.
Oh.
Oh, fuck.
I just look. It's tough to watch.
So here's the thing, too, though. Undertaker kind of shorts that fall. I mean, Snuka should be there 100%. Because I feel like even the ref, when he's doing it on Talk is Jericho, he even said, like, I would have been there.
Right.
You know? But, like, Snuka should have been where he was. Undertaker does kind of short the fall. Short the dive, excuse me. And Taker almost knocks himself out there. Now, if I'm Jimmy Snuka Jr., who didn't even get hit by Undertaker, now you're selling that move. How are you not immediately fired when you walk into the back?
You know, it's funny. I've never, at least I've never come across anything that stated him getting any type of heat for it.
Right. Or at least just being like, maybe, you know, maybe there was an apology issue. But yeah, look where he is. That Michaels literally has to push him forward. Right? Look.
Yeah.
So if you notice, Michaels pulls him to the side and then pushes him forward a little bit when Michael Undertaker falls. And then look. And then Jimmy Snuka Jr. grabs him after the fact.
Yeah, that's
they're on the ground, and then he grabs him. If I'm gonna take him, and like,
you got no job after this,
and just keeps going.
You know? Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that was the last time Undertaker attempted that suicide dive move.
Is it? You know, that's a great little bit of trivia there to look up. That is something worth looking up. And instead of writing suicide dive, I wrote suicide dice. So that the wrong thing's going to come up there.
See, it looks like Michaels is saying something to the ref, maybe trying to buy some time to let Undertaker recover, because that was
one let him recover, and two, now this is a great part of the story where, because Taker was always supposed to miss the dive, right? Right. So now he's continuing with the story where Michaels is like, okay, this is the best way, probably the easiest way to beat Taker.
Yeah, count him out.
He's knocked out, count him out.
Yeah. Ugh. He just went straight down on his head.
So if I'm looking right now, he may have attempted it. Again, I'm not entirely sure.
And Michael's pleading with the ref to start counting.
I like that, though, too. He's standing in the corner, and he's almost like he has his hands clasped in like a prayer at some point. I feel like telling him to count. See right here. Look, see, he's like practically praying right here. And he's like trying to get him, you know, like. This is a good way to end the streak by getting him to count him out.
And I think the reason why this match took place to begin with was Shawn Michaels beating Vladimir Kozlov. The winner of that match would face Undertaker at WrestleMania, if I remember correctly. Which I'm glad, you know, obviously they didn't go with Vladimir Kozlov.
Fucking Vladimir Kozlov.
I love double E.
Yeah, this is. But they were all in on him at some point.
They man. Were.
You know?
They were pushing him as like a monster, yeah. Games,
you know?
And he wound up being a comedy act.
Yeah, and then him and Santino had some good things, though.
Yeah. Yeah, he was entertaining. Sent off the sweet chin music. He's calling for it.
So he just made it on the count. Undertaker, you know, Michaels was trying to wait for him to get up to do the sweet chin. It is when it gets interesting here. Woof. And look at the height on this chokeslam.
Yep, chokeslam.
Oh, my God. Look at the height on that. Unbelievable. And a kick out.
Kick out it, too.
And this is where you're starting to see, like, Undertaker, like, what the hell is going to take for me to put him away? He's starting to get a little signs of being, like, almost fed up. So right here, he's kind of like... Yeah, so listen, it wasn't his best move. He hit the, you know, he hit the choke slam, not the finisher, but something. So I think actually Undertaker did attempt it again after this match. I think he does it again when he does it against Triple H as well. So it's, I don't think he completely abandoned the move. Maybe he was a little more cautious.
Yeah.
And
rightfully so.
Snuka would be gone a few months after this match. There it is again, sweet chin. Breaks it, boom, going for another choke slam, and there it is.
Ooh, sweet chin nice. Music.
So, reversed choke slam, slaps the hand down, hits him, but they're both hurt, so they're both out. So this is a great moment too, because he's not immediately going for the pin and kicking out of a finish. They both collapsed, so it gives Undertaker a little time to recover, and it's a half-ass pin, right? He doesn't have the leg hooked or anything like that. He has one arm on. And Undertaker just gets the arm over to kick out. And this is where it gets really, really good. You know? And this is where your announcers have to play a part in this, right? You know, the sequences, the back and forth, hitting the sweet chin. And we don't have the sound off for the sake of this, but I don't think anybody does point out the fact that Michaels has like a half-assed cover on him to pin him. He just has one arm, right? So it's like, you know, pointing that out helps the audience a great deal.
Right. That's why you need JR for these matches.
You know, just JR, not JR and Michael Cole together. So here we go again, right? Kip up, goes to pick Taker up, right into another choke. Oh, man, nice kick here. Oh, looks like a last ride. When he does it, oh, that's nice. Almost into a sunset flip.
Sunset flip, no, Undertaker catches him. Going for it again.
I think this time he hits it.
Yep. And,
wow, the height that he gets with Michael. And Michael's just giving up the body to Taker, like, yeah, I got this. And here it is. I like that. I like this a great deal. He hits the last ride. He kicks out, and here's Undertaker getting pissed, right? Back and forth, like, you know, gets mad, hits the ring a little bit. He's just swinging his hand, then he leans on the ropes like, God damn. You know, like that. I like that a great deal. This is a good moment here. Nice. And then here's the kick out here, and you can see the frustration in his face. Right here, look. See, he gets up, boom. Hits the ropes, hits the ring. Like, this is good. And this is where it's going to get really good here. Like, this is what I like about the match. It's the build. Right? We started off with some mat wrestling. We started off with some of our signature moves. But now, as we're getting into the nitty-gritty, you know, hitting the sweet chin music and our choke slams and our last rides, like, now it's like, what the hell are we going to do to put each other away? But this is when you have the two best at work here. I don't know what the Undertaker's going to go for here. I think it goes for an elbow drop.
Yep.
And Michael totally misses. But here's Undertaker, right? This is a good storytelling device, right? Hits him with two signature moves. Michaels kicks out. Undertaker goes for a risk. Normally doesn't come off the top rope like he used to, right, with the clothesline. An attempt to put him away. And with that, it cost him, right? Shawn Michaels actually rolls out.
Ugh. Yeah, doing things that he normally wouldn't do to try to put Michaels down.
Right. And in this case, it cost him. He misses the elbow drop significantly. I wonder if they ever decided to do like a time limit draw for an Undertaker match in at WrestleMania. Okay, I can only imagine the problem with that. Oh, here's a good one. Here's a sign. I want to put the sound on for this moment here. Skinning the cat right into the tombstone. This is awesome. And this is where we thought it was over. You're like, oh yeah, that match is over now. And look at Undertaker's face here. That was great. They had the crowd in the palm of their hand because Undertaker was doing the, you know, sticking the tongue out. You're like, oh, it's definitely over. And when he kicks out, look at Taker's face. Like, what the hell is going on, man? So he catches him on the skin in the cat. And I mean, everyone in the crowd was like, it's over.
It's
right?
Over. Yeah, it's done.
He does the pin. He does the whole eye, the tongue. Look, it's right here. One, two, and then. And then he kicks out, and Undertaker almost collapses over him, too. And then look at his face here, like, my God, what a great moment right there. They had the crowd in the palm of their hand right there. I think we'll let the sound ride out here. This is because we need some of the crowd reaction here to get it going. So here again, the frustration, right? Now you're starting to see it in his face. It went from... You know, he's bewildered. Now he's throwing the straps on. Like, nah, I gotta mess this guy up now.
Look at his chest, too. It's from the chops.
And Michaels is just still out. But is he still out? Or maybe he's awesome here, right? There's another one here. So he doesn't exactly hit the DDT.
Yeah, right? Messed it up there. That's another quarter taken off.
There you go. So now for me, it's 4.5 stars. 4.75. But right here, him flipping him around, his head doesn't hit the mat.
He sells it anyway.
But the crowd, he sells it anyway, but the crowd's in it. Like, if yeah. you're sitting in the crowd, you can't see that if you're sitting, you know, compared to sitting at home, right?
Right, right.
So you're in there, and you're like, holy shit, that was great. But see, JR sells it great, too, right? That's an amazing, unpredictable counter. So, like, if you're sitting at home, you're like, ah, he screwed up. But then JR is selling it like a son of a bitch, right? So now Shawn Michaels more used to being off the top. Hitting that elbow drop. Good. I like that too. Look at that. He tilts back and holds himself on the ropes to get over because he's just hurt.
Yep, nails it.
And then hits the elbow drop. Like selling the beatdown, right? He didn't just jump up to the top rope. He didn't springboard up to the top rope. He went one at a time, yeah. almost fell over again and grabbed the ropes, and then hits the elbow drop very, very quickly. You know, that was a great way to do it, too. Now, you're just selling the beatdown. You know, they're not just, you know, getting dumped on the head with German suplex and then popping up like nothing happened, like certain other people do.
On the top ropes. Like everyone in AEW.
Yeah, or you know, and it happens in NXT quite a bit sometimes too. You know, I'm an equal opportunity offender. I think you all need to chill out with that stuff. It's unbelievable. Here we go, tuning up the band.
Who does a better elbow drop? Michaels or Savage?
Not Savage always. It's always going to be Savage. Savage just had that finesse.
Sweet chin, he nailed it too.
Oh man, that was good.
But fall backwards, can't cover him right away.
See, that's another good one. See, look at there, crawling over. So he hits it, purposely falls backwards, and then has to crawl over. This time he cooks the leg.
And kicks out. So now we've talked about false finishes before and how they can get annoying, but this is where
it works.
It works, and it's done correctly.
Because he didn't hit
the speed overdone.
And immediately go for the pin and then kick out. It was he hit it. He fell backwards because, again, he's selling his beat down. He doesn't run over there. He crawls. He hits it. He does hook the leg as opposed to the first time. But at this time, you gave Undertaker a little bit of time to recover. It is WrestleMania. It is his streak. So that was enough for him to kick out, you know?
Yep.
It wasn't, I hit my finisher, you hit my finisher, I hit my finisher, you hit my finisher. You know, it makes sense here. And I'm one of the biggest ones that I'm starting to really, really just detest. And I'm going to say the word detest, kicking out of finishes and matches now. Unless it makes sense. And this time it does. I'm going to say leaning on each other. Always like this one here. Oh, my God. That chop was vicious right there.
Yeah. That was a hard, stiff chop. Which chops, you can't fake a chop. So. They're all stiff.
I mean, you've seen Walter's chest after him and Ciampa's.
Yeah.
My God.
I wouldn't want to be chopped by Walter.
No, never. Not even joking. Like, hey, Walter, chop this guy in the chest. Like, no.
My chest will probably cave in. Still chopping, but they're getting slow, and then there's a boot just right to the face.
Yeah. Like, what I got to do is knock this guy down. I'm going to kick him in the face. Both guys tired right here, breathing heavy, mouths are open. Both guys selling their respective, you know, either injuries or just fighting through the pain here. Here's another tombstone.
Michael's fighting out.
Oh, my God. Look what hit him in the neck. Oh, Jesus.
Chest getting redder and redder.
Undertaker's chest. Undertaker will pull him out quick. He'll be like, listen, man, you better lay that shit in. All right? I think this might be the end sequence here. Here's the big boot.
Oh, yeah. He catches him in the moonsault, or is that the next one?
No, I think this is it. Here we go.
Michael's climbing up the
sequence here. So, again, Undertaker took a risk on the top rope, right, and missed. Shawn did and hit it. And now he figures, okay, I'm going to do it again. Catch him off guard. And his Undertaker waiting, but he's not waiting for a dive. Look, he tells him, here, look, boom, he's ready. And he catches him. And this is it.
Tombstone.
And there it is right there.
And he got it.
And that's it. And look at Undertaker, the way he collapses. I love that. I love that. He does, he pins him, 1, 2, 3, and then falls to his back exhausted. Like, holy shit, I did not expect it to be like that. Right.
Yeah.
He gave him, it's storytelling, dude. This is 101 here. You know, he's not getting up right away to celebrate. He's on his back. Michaels is on his back. It's a hard fought match. And this is a good shot right here. Both of them out on just off their feet. That's an unbeatable shot right there. You know, both guys just selling it there. There it is. That's a sit-up. Jim Ross really put it over right there, right? I'm glad I had the opportunity to sit there and witness this. All of them were clapping at the table. And I like how they're going to show this man. So I like how they embrace the botch here, right, as something. So, like, I do agree with what Meltzer said there because it did play into the story of the match, which I thought was cool.
Good, I mean, the chokes, man.
I would have said maybe the DDT and that couple other little missteps. But to me, yes, listen, is this match, like, flawless? No. But you don't get a better story than this. Like, this part right here, man, the skinning the cat into the tombstone and then that kick out and Undertaker's facial expressions after, like, this is it right here. Like, right here, it's one of the best. Yeah. That was a good sweet chin falling on his back. Like, that's great shit right there, man, to quote Mr. McMahon.
So to me,
this is 5 stars.
This is a great match, no doubt.
The crowd reaction, there was tons of heat for this match. The crowd, look at the crowd stand up when he catches him there too.
Yep.
And he could have just, he stood there and held his hands up like he's waiting and he caught him. Like, that was good. And Michaels would sell this later on down the line to say, like, he made one mistake. That was his one mistake that cost him the match. And that's how they build up to their WrestleMania 26 match. And at this point, yeah, Taker 17-0. They don't really have a handshake here. They do win the Slammy for Match of the Year. And that's when Michaels initially starts the campaign for the next year, saying, hey, let's do it again. He would try to win the Royal Rumble. He didn't. Edge win the Royal Rumble that year. And then he would cost the Taker the championship at Elimination Chamber.
Yep,
that match. And it would be Streak versus Career. And that one in itself is also a great match.
Yep.
But I don't know, for this one, for the first one, I think this one has the edge, 25. And look at that, though. He does the, you know, down to one knee, celebrating, but then when he gets up, he stumbles into the ropes.
Yeah.
You know, he's still selling it.
Stumbling all the way.
Yeah, the whole way through. Stumbles into the ropes. You guys said, look here, still limping, doing that. I mean, I'm sure, obviously, they probably hurt. He also took a fucking header off, you know, off the fucking pavement. You know, snooker. Thank you. But great stuff here, man. This is great. Taker walks off. He does his little arm raise, and they show Evander Holyfield with, guessing his kids. All right. We just watched it, WrestleMania 25. So to me, I just said, I think to me, based on everything, crowd and the near falls and the facial expressions and the storytelling throughout, the selling throughout, to me, that's 5 stars, right? What would be a 5-star match in your opinion if it's not this one? I'm not saying you said it was, but, you know, like, what is a 5-star match to you when you'd be like, okay, this match is 5 stars?
I think for me personally, it's the drama of the match, right? It's everything we just saw plus the crowd participation. You know, the announcers are a part of it. I don't think that it's always just the guys or the ladies in the ring putting the match together. It's everyone else involved. I think from Meltzer's standpoint, who, you know, he considers himself an expert, and that's fine, but he's looking at the botches and taking points away. So he's looking at, like, that botched DDT, and yeah, he said that the suicide dive, that botch played into the match, but it's still a botch, and he took points off of him. So I think it really just comes down to how you personally view it. For me, I think it's everything involved in the match itself. It's, and we've seen the kind of matches that are okay, but are made better because of the fans and the people, right? And Rock versus Hogan from 18, that's a good example of that.
Right. Or,
you know, just watching this, you know, we watched it on mute, but, you know, that, and it was still a really good match, but the fans, their reaction to what is going on also makes you react to what's going on. So it's a lot of tangibles there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's everything. I mean, because you see how a match comes together and the crowd plays a role. And we've talked about, like, you know, we were like scrutinizing the matches. We were like, yeah, watch Hogan Rock on mute. It's not the greatest match you've seen, but the fucking crowd makes it incredible. And the matches, it's better than what you were expecting from a Hogan match at that point in his career. Right. You know, and I think for me, yeah, like with that match, it's the crowd that's in it. They're getting out of their feet. The 1-2, and even they're selling that near fall as much as Undertaker selling that near fall. They're making it even incredible, because if you're sitting at home watching it, you're like, oh damn, the crowd is just, they're into it, right? I mean, that was everything. But like I said, the match is far from like a flawless match. It's not perfect, right? It does have the botches, but it doesn't matter if you have the commentary there to back it up. You have the performers there to back it up. And then the crowd, I think, is the icing on the cake. And then to me, like, that is the definition of a five-star match. It doesn't have to be every move executed flawlessly. Because if you think about it, you know, and you want to suspend disbelief for an actual event, you know, mistakes happen in real fights. People slip. People fall. People, you know, do this. I don't know. And aside from Bret Hart, maybe, like, a flawlessly executed match to the T, you know, I'm sure there's going to be parts where you messed up. And if you really want to nitpick, you know, you can do that for any match. But right. To me, like, this had the whole shebang. Yeah, dude. I think this is where it was at for me. I think that was great. And I also think it has some major competition coming up, because we're going to move on. And in the midst of us talking, I went to Peacock and looked up WrestleMania 28. And actually, I'm sorry. Forgive me. What am I
saying?
Season 28, episode 1. And so you could find it properly. I don't know what I was thinking there. I'm sorry, guys. I apologize. I am at 58 minutes and 41 seconds for that match. Before we move on, but I'll just let you guys cue it up. This is right when Shawn Michaels, I think, is about to make the entrance. Because in this one, Shawn Michaels is now the special guest referee. So just to backtrack, we just watched 25. Right? They would go on to 26, streak versus career. And afterwards, the year after, him and Triple H would go at it. And him and Triple H had gone at it before in WrestleMania 18, where it was literally like, okay, we have nothing for Taker to do. We have nothing for Triple H to do. And they kind of just threw that match together.
17, yeah.
Was it 17?
Yeah, it was 17.
What was 18? Oh, 18 was his match.
Undertaker and Flair, yeah.
Right. So, you know, they had nothing to do, and they threw them together. It's a pretty good match.
Good match, yep.
So then Triple H comes back, and I think he was gone for almost a year. Undertaker was gone for pretty much a year. They come back on a Raw. They have no actual verbal interaction. They just look at each other. They look at the WrestleMania sign. They look at each other, and there's your match, right? And they kind of build up throughout it. And I think the whole point was, you know, Triple H, you know, is mad because Undertaker retired his friend. And they have a really good match at that year's WrestleMania. Undertaker wins with the Hell's Gate. Triple H actually ends up passing out, doesn't actually tap out. But at the end of the match, Undertaker gets taken out of the stretcher while Triple H actually walks off.
Yep.
And that leads to the next year's WrestleMania. Now Triple H is in full COO mode, right? He has a suit on, looks like he's about to fire John Laurinaitis. Out comes Undertaker again. And they have a kind of back and forth the next couple of weeks, but the Undertaker challenges him to a match. Triple H says, you know, you won the battle, but I won the war. You got to take out the stretcher, and now you want to redeem yourself because you look bad, pretty much. Right. And then that ends up, you know, another back and forth. Wanted to end the streak. They decide to put the match in a Hell in a Cell. HBK is a special guest referee. And Undertaker also decides to shave his head into a mohawk and cut his hair off. And you could tell he was wearing a wig in those promos, too, because it was pretty fucking bad. Yeah, so there it is. We have it set up here. It wasn't the main event, but it was one of the strongest matches on the card. Probably might have stolen the show that night, to be honest. If I got to be honest with you, that night, the whole match card itself was okay. We're talking about here. So if I'm looking at our match ratings, HBK, HBK and Undertaker for 25, 4¾ stars. Undertaker and Triple H, 4¾ stars. So there goes separating any type of separation there. So that's not really going to help us in the long run. But let's look at some of the other ones here. Let's see if we can catch. We have 27, and I'm just going to go quickly forward to 28. And here we go here. So this is the famous once-in-a-lifetime match. Main event was Rock and Cena that they announced a year ahead of time, right?
Yep, yep.
We're at Sun Life Stadium in Miami, right? How much do we have here? The was that 78,000 fans just about?
Yep, 78,000. Hang on, let me get the exact number. Sun Life Stadium outdoors. 78,363. Over 1.2 million buys.
Oh, how you doing? So, I mean, this is a good thing here. I think Undertaker and Triple H would end up going on to be Match of the Night. For me, it was Match of the Night my personal way. But I think a lot of people ended up doing it. I think people said that it kind of stole the show. The main event was very good, but then compared to the Hell in a Cell. I mean, that's a personal opinion of mine. You know, and this is famously also the World Heavyweight Title match where that lasted, what, like 8 seconds with Sheamus and Daniel Bryan or something like that.
Yep.
So that was another one where it's like, ugh, okay, there it is. But you're talking about 2, 4, and 3/4 stars. So again, I think this plays into our talk of what exactly is a 5-star match. And we both talked about how would you have rated WrestleMania 25 5 stars then if you were to give it that rating?
Yes.
Okay. So I think we're in agreement there. So I would say yes as well. So now this is a interesting take now. So now this one also rated 4.75, whatever the hell you want to say. And now here's the debate. How do we feel about this too? And I think this is what's going to help us separate to pick one to move to the next round here.
Right.
So I'm queued up. Are you queued up?
Where are we at again? 58-41. I'm ready.
All right. So I'm going to hit play in 3, 2, 1. All right, the 28th season of WrestleMania, and only one episode this season. It's amazing. And here comes Shawn Michaels. Nice stage setup for this one, though. Really nice.
Yeah, those outdoor. We saw this past WrestleMania, the chances you take with an outdoor event.
You really do. Delay. That had to be the first time, I think, with a rain delay for WrestleMania. Unbelievable, right?
Reminds me of
Hero suffered the consequences.
Yeah, I mean, first time that they've ever had a rain delay, but it reminds me of In Your House, Beware of Dog when they had the lights go out. Yeah, a huge storm and it knocked out all the power.
And Shawn Michaels here now, so he's 2 years removed from retiring. No pyro for him though. Being a goofball walking down to the ring there. And for this one, they specifically brought in JR.
Yeah.
Just for this match, which was great. And I like here HBK giving him an acknowledgement because I think he called him the greatest commentator of all time.
I think it was at Triple H and Undertaker's request as well. If I remember correctly, they
because
requested
he makes
that
it,
JR do
he
it.
Makes it yeah. that much better. You're right. I mean, we want a guy like that calling the match. Oh, look, there's Andy Garcia right behind Jerry. I think Michael Cole. Look at that.
I've seen Andy Garcia in person.
There he is. Oh, look, Rob, the guy, the kid with the black shirt's blocking him there. Yeah. Oh, there's Dule Hill to the left. Wow, look at that. Star power at Mania. Miami, the place to be right now. Look at that. See, points at Jim Ross. Gives him a nice salute. Looks at a big sigh, right? And I do like it. The storyline for Shawn being in here. How can you be an impartial ref when this guy literally ended your career? He beat you 2 years in a row, right? Triple H is your best friend. How do you call it down the middle? You know, and I think there are elements here in this match. So in 25, there were maybe once or twice where I thought that the streak was over. In this match, there is one part in this match where I'm like, holy shit, this is it. Yeah. And they really got you here. You know, look at that entrance right there. Now, this dry ice, I think, would this end up clinging to Triple H's side here? Or is this would that be another year that I was wrong? He ended up becoming known for his incredible WrestleMania entrances over the years.
Yep, and he always had a thing for, like, these fantasy themes. Almost, you know, looks like a thing out of Conan.
Right, right. He did have that skull with the crown being the King of Kings and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. I also just recently watched his match with Sting in 31. I was watching with my son, and he comes out with that Terminator entrance, if you remember.
Yeah.
With Arnold telling everybody it's time to play the game. That was a pretty good. That was a pretty badass entrance.
A match that I still think Sting should have won.
Yeah, you know, we were watching again, and you know what? I didn't mind because it's such a fun match.
Yeah.
Like DX coming out, NWO coming out, but for some reason watching it today, because my son doesn't like watching matches where like his favorite wrestlers lose, so he wanted to watch a Sting match when he won. But I was like, watch this match; it's really good, because I wanted to show him the value of like losing anyway.
Right.
Like, you know, dad moment. Anyway, fuck that. But what I'm trying to get at is when I saw him lose, I was like, damn, he should have won. And that was the first time I ever felt that way watching it. Yeah. Honestly, and after the many times I actually have seen it, because then you also don't realize that now he's in AEW, he's not going to have another WrestleMania match, you know?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But at least he can say, you know, Sting was at WrestleMania.
And that's a bucket list moment for him, you know. And but then again, when you do see them shake hands at one point, he does tell Triple H like, this was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, so like, he was just not happy to be there, but he was happy to be a part of that. And I think if you watch the Sting documentary of the days leading up to it, he does say like, you know, that's the thing you do. You know, you put the guy over. He's like, I think he was almost talking like that was going to be his final match. You know, obviously we know it wouldn't be, but.
I still think he should have won.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I feel you on that. I feel you there. At this point, I mean, and also the dubbing of this match as end of an era. You know, almost like a passing of the guard to the next generation. Like, this might be the last time. And this is, you know, the last in a trilogy that him and Undertaker would actually have.
Yeah. Together,
which is pretty incredible, too.
And a trilogy, but 0-3 against Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the whole end of an era thing is kind of... It's confusing, really, if you think about it, because the way that it is built is like, you know, here are two guys from a generation that is fading away, and you kind of feel like this might be the last time that they step in the ring. And I think every time at this point Undertaker came back to wrestle WrestleMania, there was always the question of, is this the last one?
Right.
You know, so it's end of an era, but yet they would still go on for...
To other matches, right, you're right. Yeah,
I mean, Undertaker would wrestle. What is this? What year is this? 2012. So Undertaker would wrestle for another like six on and off 6 years. I mean, not consistently.
Well, at this point, he was just coming back for WrestleMania.
Right.
He would just be coming back for these Mania matches. He would train all year, like he said in the last stint. Right. He would train all year. Do the match, get a surgery to fix whatever the hell he hurt during that match, and then go right back into it, right? So at this point, he wasn't a full-time wrestler anymore. So I think that's what they mean by end of an era. He was strictly doing his Mania matches. Triple H at this point wasn't a full-time wrestler himself either. You know, he was doing the behind-the-scenes stuff. He was getting NXT up and running, and Shawn Michaels had retired. So at this point, right. I think this was like the end of their era, if that makes sense. Maybe not the end of an era, but their era for sure, because they would go on. Undertaker would go on to do CM Punk the next year, and then actually the streak would be broken by Brock the year after that. And Triple H would face Brock, and then you've seen him in years past. He won the world title again. He did Roman in the main event. He did Seth Rollins, Batista, and this past WrestleMania was one of the first that he wasn't on. You know, right. This one and the year before that, and I think 35 was his last match with Batista. So, you know, who knows? And he still teases a run. I know. AJ Styles has said that Triple H is on his list of guys he wants to wrestle before his time is done.
Right.
And he was trying to get Triple H out of retirement, not retirement, but into, you know, for this year's WrestleMania. And he kept turning him down. So, but that's going to happen sooner rather than later. If I'm Triple H, You don't let AJ Styles go without having that match with him, you know?
Yeah, I don't think Triple H is done. I think, that match he had against Batista, that was Batista's retirement match.
Yeah.
But it wasn't Triple H's. I think Triple H will be back at some point. It's just a matter of against who, and I think AJ would be the logical choice there.
And it also has to be interesting.
Right.
You know? AJ coming back, you know, like somebody like that, an interesting matchup or something like that, or a guy like Batista who always expressly stated that if I have one more run, it has to be with Triple H at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, it's the guy who made him, essentially, so it makes sense.
And this whole getup, the robe with the hood, he's almost like a... It's different from the long coat and the hat we're used to here, because this was started off this new, like, trend that he had.
Yeah, he's got, like, all these spikes on it.
Right. I remember when he took the hood off and he had the mohawk, and I was like, oh, okay, that's what we're doing?
Man, look at that. That overhead shot of was that Sun Life?
Yeah. And I don't know how he saw it with it over his eyes. Look at that. I mean, listen, this is WWE, right? Production's always top-notch.
Triple H with the long hair.
I miss it. I also don't mind him with the short hair either, but still. I think Undertaker 2 has great affection for this match, too. I like the thunder hitting when he takes the hood off. It's a nice little moment. That's not the first time we saw him with short hair either. And I think the whole point of him shaving the head, doing the mohawk, it's a symbolism. You know, people talk about, like, shaving your head is a symbol of, like, starting fresh, starting anew. And I think that was the whole point, too, which actually plays into the story a great deal also, right?
Yeah.
He won, but at what cost last year, right?
It's also a sign of people spiraling out of control, too, when they shave their head and stuff.
Yeah, Britney, bitch. But absolutely, yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
I always think of Robin Tunney in Empire Records shaving her head in the sink.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Metallica playing as the cell gets lowered. Nice moment. And then look at the little dry ice, little smoke they got going on here, too. Good shit right here, man. This is top-notch production here.
And this is the... the old Hell in the Cell, because now we get that red one, which I don't like.
I like the red one, man. I think it's cool. It makes it pop a little more.
I think it's too loud. It takes away from the match.
You like it more subtle, maybe?
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind if it was black.
Black would be fine.
I do appreciate that they have holes now for people to climb up the cell. Not in this one in particular. But I think whenever they plan on going up to the top, there's always holes cut out. You know, poor Mick Foley that had to, like, struggle to do it twice after getting thrown off the top once and then had to do it again, which is incredible. Crazy, man. They didn't take their eyes off each other the entire time as the cage was being lowered, except for to look up that one time. That was good, man. I don't know how you hold that without laughing, honestly. If you're looking at your friend there, like, I'm just laughing my ass off.
This is a rivalry that I don't think gets talked about a lot.
Very, very underrated.
Yeah, and I feel like most of Triple H's rivalries don't get talked about a lot. Like his rivalry with Austin, his rivalry with The Rock. Maybe him and Shawn Michaels is probably the one that gets talked about the most.
I'm gonna throw the meat on for this as we go in. I'm gonna go out on a limb and I'm gonna say this, and I don't know if you agree or not, but I think Triple H unnecessarily gets shitted on because of his position in WWE and his position over the years being with Stephanie, marrying Stephanie. And I think people shit on him unnecessarily. I would go as far as to say is that Triple H to me, and I love Triple H. Triple H is, I mean, you know, Triple H has been one of my favorite wrestlers for a very long time since the Attitude Era. But like Triple H is one of the more underappreciated, undervalued, and underrated wrestlers, I would say, in WWE history. And I think it's strictly not underrated because of his in-ring work and how great he is, because he is. You hear time and time again, everybody from Taker to everybody saying how he's a ring general, how he takes command and calls that stuff in the ring. I'm saying under in the sense that because of who he is and where he is now, people tend to hate on it more than appreciate what you have, honestly.
And I've heard people, people that I personally know who are fans that have said, and even, you know, there's shoot interviews with wrestlers who have said the same thing, that without Stephanie as his wife, Triple H would have been nothing more than a mid-carder. And that's just insanity to me.
Yeah, I know.
Like, how can people say that? Like, and I think people don't realize that when Triple H won the title for the first time, he was not dating Stephanie McMahon.
Right.
He was dating Chyna. And he won it the night after SummerSlam 1999. And that was built up for him to do, not because he was with Stephanie. So I don't understand how someone can think of him as nothing more than a mid-card talent. Like, he's clearly not that.
But they don't know. That's the problem, because they think that he's been with Stephanie the entire time. Right. You know, they saw potential in this guy from the moment they signed him, that they wanted him to win the King of the Ring. And then, unfortunately, he had to take the fall for the curtain call. So they go to Austin, but he wins it the next year. Right. You know, and you're absolutely right. They weren't even together at the time. Right. And then, you know, you don't understand now the work that he's doing with NXT. The fact that, to me, it's the best show on the whole fucking brand, honestly. Yep. The stars that he's building up there, the stories that he's telling down there with his group. All right. And then, you know, the fact that every time, and this is the thing that pisses me off, too. Every time he has a WrestleMania match and he has like these grand entrances, which deservedly so. You know, if he wants to have an entrance, you know, people get WrestleMania entrances. It's one of the biggest, it's the biggest event of the year. It's like Triple H, of course, has to pat himself on the back and give himself the biggest entrance. He's a fucking mark for himself, blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, go fuck yourself, bro. Like, stop hating. Like,
yeah.
You know, you don't have to like him. You don't have to be a fan of him. But stop saying he is where he is because, oh, yeah, Stephanie and Vince and stuff like that, too. Like, the dude busted his ass to get where he was.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he's busting his ass now. Let somebody else put this match on right now that he's doing. You know, like, that's the thing that bothers me most. And that's why when I say he's underrated, that's what I mean. Because people don't appreciate it. And you know when they're going to appreciate it? When he's gone.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. And that's the thing I hate about it, too. And you're absolutely right. His feuds with The Undertaker and the Attitude Era, the feud with him and Rock for the IC title initially. Yep. Then they went to the world title picture. Him and Austin together, the two-man power trip. You know, it wasn't as long as it should have been because of the injury, but that was a fucking good thing too, man. Like, you know, there's a lot of things that people like to gloss over because all they want to say is, you know, Triple H wouldn't be where he was if it wasn't for his girlfriend or his wife. It's like, okay, dude, okay. You know so much. You know?
Yeah, it's I don't agree. Triple H is where he is because of himself.
I mean, yeah, buses. And when you have people like Taker and Big Show and Shawn Michaels and Austin and Rock saying that too,
yeah,
given the stamp of approval, it's like, what else did you need from you that to prove it? It's like, no, Vince is making him say it. I'm like, okay, cool. I do got to say the camera work when they're outside is a little shoddy. Like a couple of times, I think Triple H or Undertaker almost hit the cameras in the face because it's a little tight, this little area that they have here. But still, like the camera guy needs to get the hell out of the way.
And Triple H has taken most of the beating now, as we're about maybe five to 10 minutes into this match.
Yeah, he's been just strictly so.
Well, there's a miss there. A botch on the clothesline. So that's a, you know, a quarter taken off.
There you go. Any botch is a quarter. This is always, like, see, with the Hell in the Cell match, those, like, hard camera, like, outside of the cell thing always bothers me. Because it's like, if something gets cut off, like, give me the in-the-ring stuff the entire time, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen a gimmick match like this live, like any type of cage match or anything. So I wonder how obstructing it is when you're in the crowd.
I've seen a few cage matches in my day. Cage matches isn't as bad. And also when I saw them, well, the one I saw, it was a No Way Out, the last No Way Out pay-per-view, and it was Undertaker, John Cena and Big Show. in the cage match, and it was like the winners, John Cena won, John Laurinaitis got fired. Right. And I was sitting above, upper level decks, looking down at it, and it actually wasn't bad. But then a few years later, I would go to Newark to watch the Ambrose Asylum match, or the Asylum match, which is essentially like a cage match of weapons, and it was Dean Ambrose and Jericho for that pay-per-view. And I was sitting a lot lower. And from where I was sitting, the vantage point, you could see right through the cage. You could see everything going on, which is not that bad. I think I want to say it's like those mid-tier seats where maybe the cage, the top of the cage, might obstruct your view when you're trying to look at something. But it's never that bad. I've never actually seen a Hell in a Cell in person, though. Full disclosure. So I couldn't even tell you. I feel with the roof, it might be a significant loss of not being able to see some stuff.
Right.
But just cage matches, no.
Yeah, I guess, like you said, so it depends on where you're sitting.
Right. And then, you know, they have the video screens, which is like, oh, that sucks. I'd watch it at home if I had to watch on the video screen. But, you know, whatever. You know, so sometimes you got to make do. It is what it is. Especially if they go through the crowd and you're missing stuff or whatever. So we have what? We have stairs on the inside. We have the upper stairs just chilling outside there. This cameraman is doing some pretty good work here. So they have two cameramen, one on either side. Here comes his famous leg drop.
See if he hits it this time. Yep.
Oof. No wonder he had all those. No wonder he has all these hip and leg problems and stuff like that, man. All those leg drops over the years.
You know, Michael. That's what did Hogan's hips in.
Yeah, exactly. And his back.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the picture that Hogan tweeted out of one of his last back surgeries? Like they pulled like hardware out of his back, and it was like screws and bolts and stuff like that. He looked like a door frame. Like that's what they pulled. Like it was incredible, man. The amount of metal that was in his back. Oh, there you go. Nice DDT. DDT probably one of my all-time favorite moves.
Who did the best DDT?
You see, the go-to answer is always Jake.
Right.
But I like Dax Harwood's DDT. From FTR.
Really?
I do. I think he does a really good one. I always thought The Rock did a good one. Raven used to do a good one.
For the Eagles. Ravens was cool because his had like a lot of snap to it.
Yeah.
But I always go to, obviously, Jake Roberts and then Arn Anderson.
Oh, my God. How could you forget Arn Anderson's DDT? Yeah. Hey, you want to talk about snap? He would just like drive your head into the ground. Yeah.
Triple H going for a pedigree on the stairs. Undertaker backdropped him off of it.
You could tell too, man. At this point, the wear and tear on Undertaker's body, and you know, and he's also selling a great deal here too, which is great. But you could see like the stuff that he talks about in The Last Stand, like just getting ready for these yearly WrestleMania matches was like just an ordeal on him, man. It's incredible. But he was still putting on these high quality matches. Got a little bit of a gut there though, by the way. Check that out.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely, this is 3 years after the match we just watched.
Right.
And his body, and he's still a huge guy, but a lot of that muscle is gone.
Wow. So we have the bottom of those stairs are playing a role here, driving your face in there. We attempted a pedigree on there. To Shawn Michaels, every time Triple H gets hit, look, he's like cringing. It's pretty funny. Like he's like
spine buster. Oh, on the stairs.
And the lower back to hit, definitely hit that bottom part of the stair too, man.
Is Triple H bleeding there?
Yeah, he has a little bit of a cut side of his head towards the temple. Oh, there you go, Hell's Gate.
Hell's Gate, and he's on the steps.
I do like what Shawn Michaels is doing here, but he is a little, like, he's overacting a little bit. Like, he's kind of, there are times here, like, the cringe, look right here, look. He's like, he's getting up and he's like holding his hair and he's like going, you know, like, and like doing the powerbomb, like, all right, dude, like chill out, okay? Looks like Taker got a little bit of a nick, too, top of his head.
Yeah, I don't know if that's his blood or Triple H's blood.
So that was nice. That takes incredible strength to even to pick him up, no matter how far you pick him up and drop him.
300-pound man there.
Yeah, there you go. We got some chairs coming out now. We're pulling out all the stops here. There's a good moment here too with the like sometimes these Highland Cellmasters get a little OD in terms of like, okay, we're in a cell already, but here's some stairs and here's some chairs and some candlesticks. But I feel like they use the weapons here. They utilize the weapons here kind of effectively.
Yeah, well, I think you need some type of weapon use in the cell. I think I watched an interview with Kevin Nash where he talked about how matches like this, you need to juice, meaning, you know, you need blood.
Right.
We don't see that a lot nowadays. Do you agree with that? Do you think that you need carnage in a match like this? Or can you just put on a straight up match inside? Because then what's the point of the cage, you know?
I mean, yes, what is the point of the cage? But then you see what these guys are doing now. Like, I mean, I thought Sasha Banks and Bayley had a good Hell in a Cell match. Nobody juiced. I thought her and Charlotte had a good one.
Right.
You know, I've seen good ones with the Usos and the New Day. That was pretty incredible, and there was no blood in there whatsoever either.
But they still used weapons, and like, yes, there was still carnage. Yeah,
right. There was still carnage. There was still weapon use. There was still like, it was still devastating.
Yeah,
right? It was still hard hitting. They utilized the cape a great deal. You know, I think it depends. I don't think you need blood necessarily. Does it add that much more to it? Absolutely. But here's what I'm talking about. Overacting. Look at the way Michaels moves every time he hits him with the chair. Look.
Yeah, and Michael's trying to stop him. Yeah.
Yeah. And here we go again. And Undertaker, Triple H is bleeding like on his eye or just above the eye right there. And I like to see, like, this is where it's good. The overacting is not that bad here, you know, because he's trying to pull him away. And I think at one point, Triple H does tell him, like, you know, end it, Sean, or I will. This is there's some moments where I legitimately think that he's going to, I'm going to put the sound on for this next couple sequences. You see, I like that with HBK. Just cover him and let it be over. You know, get it over with. You know he's not going to quit.
Yeah, because they definitely, you know, part of the story being told is how Undertaker just, you can't put him down.
Right. So he moves Shawn Michaels out the way, pushes him down, actually. And that's another one. It's like, you know, it's like, just cover him already. Let it be over with. You know, he's not going to quit. Because he doesn't want to see him getting more. Look at his back. Okay. End it or I will. And look at Taker's back from the chair shots at that point. Look at that purple mark on his back.
Yeah.
I say I love that. Do not stop it. I like that. That's really good. That was really good. And the camera angle getting tight on the face with him like there. Don't stop it. Don't stop it. If they were going to end the streak here by HBK stopping the match, that actually would have been a cool moment, but... But here we go again, like, oof. Oh, my God. And he's fucking laying those shots in, though. Look at his back there. It's purple.
A kick out, but not a lot behind it.
Not a ton behind it. A little bit of a slow count for HBK, though, there.
Yeah, I think this match definitely, yeah, and we'll relive it as it goes on, but definitely made you think that Triple H would win at many points.
Yeah.
Of course, we know the streak would be broken by Brock Lesnar, much to the chagrin of many fans and even insiders who felt like the streak should have continued.
If it wasn't going to be HBK or Triple H, it should never ended, and that's my opinion, honestly.
Well, I think the thing is that I don't think it would have mattered who did it. It would have been booed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was going to be an unpopular thing regardless. Right. You know?
But I have to admit that I did like the fact that it was broken because it will forever be remembered as a holy shit moment.
Oh, it definitely was. Because I remember when it got pinned, I was like, you got to be a whole... Yeah. I literally did say holy shit. Like, I just wish it wasn't Brock. That's just me, though.
I'm okay with it being Brock. I mean, because I just don't know who else it could have been.
It needed to be somebody the likes of Brock Lesnar to break it. That's why I hate it, but I do like it because it makes sense, you know?
And then Roman would beat him too, so.
And Undertaker has gone on record saying it should have been just Roman that broke the streak. It's somebody that could have benefited from it. And I agree with that in that case too.
Here we go again. Triple H using the sledgehammer.
And HBK just says, let me ring the bell, let me ring the bell. There we go.
Undertaker kicks out.
Yeah. So he says, let me ring the bell. And Lindsay keeps telling him no. So the fact that they turn the audio up that you can hear what they're saying throughout the match is really, really cool. JR bringing the, you know, really just calling a good match here. And look, and what I like too is Undertaker's not looking Triple H directly in the eye until the last minute. And he puts his hands up against his with a sledgehammer. So it's like, you know, it's out of his view here.
Triple H is ready to kill Undertaker.
Yeah. He's looking at him with a sledgehammer in the back of the head. And yeah, but the crowd's booing. Like, no, kill him. Like end it. So I wanna get your take here on this next sequence here we're gonna watch. So Undertaker's clearly off his rocker. Michaels wants to stop it. He's conflicted. He goes to check on Taker again. All right. And you know, says no, like he doesn't want him to do it.
This is a Rocky Balboa Apollo Creed moment.
Yeah. So now, I always thought when I first watched this match that Undertaker got him in Hell's Gate because he was confused because of the sledgehammer shot. And I just realized that he did it on purpose so HBK doesn't ring the bell and right. stop the match.
And there's another sledgehammer shot.
Yeah.
And that would lead to Shawn Michaels now actually trying to help Triple H win.
Right. So he purposely did it not to help him, not to get him to ring the bell to stop the match. Hits him with another sledgehammer shot. And this next sequence is when I thought it was over.
Low blow. And then Hell's Gate.
Yep.
And this is how Undertaker beat him the previous year.
Right. And like we said before, Triple H didn't tap out. He actually passed out. And that's how they won. With his sledgehammer in hand, if I remember correctly, yeah. too, right? Yep.
Well, maybe no. Maybe this is when he has a sledgehammer in hand.
Wow, they're grabbing the ankle for leverage too. There it is.
Do you like that move though? I always feel like I don't get it.
I would have wished it was a triangle choke and not the go-go plotter.
Yeah.
Just because Undertaker literally, I mean, you pull his arm through your leg and then you're pulling the head down onto your own shin and choking
right,
him out.
Right, so it's choking, yeah.
Right, but like if I'm like a guy like Triple H or like Brock, I'm just going to pull out of it and be like, yeah, fuck you, dude. Like, you know, I always thought that the Hell's Gate would better serve as if it was like a triangle choke where the leg was grapevined around the neck and pulling down on it, you know?
Here comes little Nate, Charles Robinson, because we need a new ref now.
I mean, could he take any longer unlocking that cage? Really getting his Paul Heyman on with unlocking stuff.
Choke slam coming.
There we go. Nice. No, not a full cover, though.
Nope. Triple H kicked out. Cover.
Right. Choke slam into a one-arm cover. That's not going to beat Triple H on a WrestleMania, right? You got to go for the full thing. Now here's Nate trying to wake up Michaels here too.
Oh, Charles Robinson going for a ride now.
Oof, poor Charles Robinson. Didn't even get him up that great.
These refs take a hell of a bump themselves. I think, wasn't it Tim White who his career was ended because of a bump he took in the Hell in a Cell?
I believe so. They might have gotten a back concussion, yeah?
Yeah, I think he went like into the cage.
I also remember Tim White always trying to kill himself online.
Oh,
here we go.
Look at that. Sweet chin into the pedigree.
Sweet chin music into the pedigree.
And this is where you thought.
The whole crowd thinks. I thought it was over here, too. I'm thinking it's over here. Look at the crowd.
Yep.
That was a hell of a job by Shawn Michaels, getting his hand down almost to the mat before Undertaker kicked out. And then look at him. Again, a little bit of overselling here, like running around and rolling around. But then when he gets in the corner, like, holy shit, I almost cost it. You know, like, I was ready to screw Undertaker out of the match, but I should call it down the middle. Like, you know, that confliction that is back. If you look at the whole hard camera side of the row at that point, look at them. They all have their hands on their head as soon as he gets the sweet chin music. Look at them. They all put their hands on their head like, oh, it's it. This is it.
It's it.
Look at that. Shawn Michaels' body right there, too. He put his whole body into that third one and then, until Undertaker kicks out. That was impressive. Little Nate, she's still there.
Hasn't moved once.
It isn't me too. Like, okay, listen, oh, I just tried to Triple help H. you win.
Yeah.
I just tried to help you win. Now I'm pushing you back. And now Triple H throws Shawn Michaels outside of the ring. That was great. That was a nice moment right there.
Yeah. Undertaker sticks up and Triple H falls back.
Triple H falls back. Yeah, that was great. Big boot. Right hand.
Snake Eyes coming up. Classic Undertaker sequence here. Big boot.
Nice.
Leg drop coming.
He really came up there like a house of fire here.
Yep, now the tombstone.
Tombstone power driver.
But no ref. Oh, wait. Shawn Michaels coming back in.
Shawn Michaels back in right here.
And Triple H kicks out.
So, like, here.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a lot of spit right there, dude. now here in this, I don't mind the kicking out of finish. Again, this is a Hell in a Cell match. And, like, I think Shawn Michaels saying initially, like, he won't quit. You know Triple H won't quit either. They're not going to just lay down for this, right? You have to kill him pretty much. That's why I don't mind in this case. It makes sense to kick out a finisher in this match, in this story.
Yeah.
Shawn
Michaels was almost crying there.
Yeah, nearly on tears here, bro. Like, I gotta plug my running low on battery. Hell in a Cell changes careers. JR with the call right there. And it changes careers tonight. It's ruining friendships. That's great. That's a great call. The getting up to your knees and then punching each other back and forth as you both stand up has always been like that long staple of these like hard hitting matches. I'm waiting for one of them to do it one day where they just get up and be like, hey, you want to just stop fighting? This hurts. Leaning on each other for support. Another hard shot there. Triple H is laying that shit in there, too. Lil Nate has somehow rolled himself out of the ring, out of harm's way. Good guy.
Oh, cool. Nope. Triple H got out of it. Pedigree coming up. Nails it.
Nice.
And again, you think it's over.
Yeah, right here.
And he kicked out.
And he barely kicked out there, though. He got the shoulder up a little bit. But this crowd is in it, man. The crowd is fired up for this. They were trading. They were making noise for every single shot. I don't know if you guys can hear that or listening now. But really just boom, boom. Like, they're literally just echoing every punch they hit. And when Triple H hit that pedigree just now and then he kicked out again, the crowd is on fire.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got some yes chants going on. You got some, you know, this is awesome chance going on. The crowd is red hot for this right now. HBK looks exhausted. He's not even in. I love that. Did you see that there? So Triple H, Undertaker sits up again, and Undertaker kind of just goes. HBK is like, oh god, like he kind of had like this body language just now. Like he like shrugs his shoulders, like, oh my god, he got up again. Like that was great.
Triple H going for the sledgehammer.
So I'm going to say go to chair. H with a sledgehammer.
Take a stepping on it.
Nice smug look by Undertaker. Like, nah, it ain't happening. Oh, hits him in the face. Right on the back. Oh, he fucking laid it in there, man. That's a receipt right there. Oof, man, that shot. You could hear it, man. That's echoing in the crowd, man. I've heard some bad chair shots in my day, but this is something else.
Now Shawn Michaels almost begging Undertaker to stop now.
So it is a good moment here, too. Like now HBK is begging him to do it. He's not telling him I'm going to end it, but he's going to hit him. Oh, man. Oof.
Oh, look at that chair.
Chen is literally bent over his back. Now Shawn Michaels in his face. The talking back and forth between the three of them is really good.
Yeah. And here's a cover and a kick out. Triple H kicks out.
Yeah. And 2K, that would be called the dirty pin. The arm, the forearm across the face. Look at that. Look at those welts on his back. Look at how red and purple his back is, dude.
Yeah, he's fucked up. That's definitely something that stays with you for a good week.
Yeah, weeks. Forget about it, man. When he takes the straps off too, you see it's actually a lot worse.
Yeah.
It's a great moment here too. But Triple H is just doubled over. He's trying to struggle to get up. He can't do anything with the sledgehammer. He's attempting to pick it up. It's just not working. He's almost like upset because he's like, he knows this is the end. And I love this last little bit of defiance right here.
Yep, Undertaker catches the sledgehammer. Right. He's like, not this time.
Yeah, Triple H is just lunging at him like a desperation move at this point. He pushes him and then he tells him to suck it in the corner. This is great. I like the face that Triple H has too, like he knows it's over. This is a great part right here. Like, fuck you.
Oh, and there's the sledge right to the side of the head.
That was a shot.
And he tossed the sledge against the cage. Good thing the cage was there because somebody would have got hurt. That reminds me. Remember when we went to SmackDown and Vince McMahon threw the cane in the audience and it hit that girl in the head?
He took Zach Gowen's cane
and
threw it and hit the girl in the audience. And we never knew what happened to that girl. I mean, I'm sure she got...
probably got something, yeah.
I was just been like, listen, I want tickets to WrestleMania for the rest of my life. There it is.
Undertaker giving the sign there. It's over. Tombstone.
That was good. Kane never did a good tombstone. The head was always too high.
Yeah, Undertaker always did it the best, and it's over.
Slow. There you have it. But Shawn Michaels is almost happy that it's over. great. I'm glad we listened to this with the audio on, man, for this one, because the crowd was red hot throughout this entire match. And there goes Justin Roberts. You suck. Okay. The crowd almost seems spent too, man. You're going to need a Let Me Up segment after this, you know? I remember feeling like that after watching CM Punk and Undertaker, and then Triple H and Brock had a follow. And I was like, man, the crowd is spent right now. They really didn't do them a favor doing that. That was a good match, too, but the crowd just wasn't into it because the crowd was just, like, adrenaline.
So that match started, I think we started at 58 minutes.
Mm.
And counting the entrances, we're now at 1 hour 42 minutes. So it was like 42 minutes that they were given.
All right. So that's time, man. That's a lot of time. It's
a long time.
But deservedly so, though. Like, a match like this deserves the time, you know? He's barely trying to get up. Look at that. He has a mark on his chest. And I like this, too. He's trying to sit up. And it's a callback to last year's. Because last year's WrestleMania, he kept trying to get up, and he couldn't. And then he couldn't. And then finally he brought the stretcher out. Now he's able to get up somewhat. So let's kill the audio here as we go. So, okay. So this was another 4 3/4 star match. To me, this is another 5-star match, in my opinion. I think, again, not a flawless match, right? But just the story. I think the talking between the three of them, like, end it, Sean, or I will stop. You know, he's not going to give up. And right now, as we're talking, HBK goes to help Undertaker up. The crowd was red hot into it. It was a great story. Like I said, like the talking, the interaction, even the last little defiant, you know, lunging with the sledgehammer and telling him to suck it and then hitting him, all that stuff. And Triple H still selling it, and he's still out. And I think this is that's the greatest part of this match. And the crowd is really into it too. Like, that's a 5-star match to me, in my opinion.
Me too. I agree.
I think that's great. Now here's where it's going to get tricky, because now we have two, in our opinion, 5-star matches. One that some consider the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. If not one, it's 1A. And this one that did steal the show that night. But people don't talk about it in terms of great WrestleMania matches.
Now, I have a theory as to maybe why that is. And I think it might be because this is a gimmick match and Undertaker and Shawn Michaels wasn't.
Okay. That might be the case, yeah. I think you might be onto something there. The fact that, the cell was involved and weapons were involved and all that. Yeah, you know. Right. There's a nice moment here, too. Doing his little pose, and HBK is standing over Triple H, like, making sure he's okay. Pyro's going off and everything. Maybe that is. But, I mean, in terms of great WrestleMania matches, it should be up there. It definitely should be mentioned. Here's the thing, and here's where I'm going to split. And I don't know how you feel about this, because I guess we're going to our picks now. He says something like, you're the best ever or something like that. To me, and I think this is where I think you're right here, that it was a gimmick match and stuff. There was a little too much, as Pritchard would say, gaga. And what I mean by that, and I'll explain what I mean. I'm not trying to just turn a phrase here. There was just like a couple of, like, the ref bumps were a little unnecessary. Shawn Michaels took a bump. Then Robinson took a bump. Then Shawn Michaels took another bump. It added to the match, but then sometimes it took away. I feel like Shawn Michaels at times just, he overacted a little too much in the ref role throughout this match. Like, you know, every time he's like, and I'm doing the motion with my hands, those of you that are listening, but like, I'm like, you know, like cringing and constantly like, and at certain parts it played really well, right? The segment where we thought Undertaker was going to lose, and the segment at the end where he's begging him to stop. It worked, but at times, no, it did. It didn't. It was a little too much. It was a little bit too much overacting, and that's why I'm moving on WrestleMania 25 HBK and Undertaker. It was very, very close. Yeah, because I think for me, botch suicide dive aside, it still played into the story of the match, and it was done very, very well. I like this match a great deal, and I think this match, and it might be the unpopular opinion, but I think this match could possibly take it. I think it could beat out Michaels and Undertaker, but like I said, as we got further into these brackets, it's these little things that we're gonna have to scrutinize. And I think for me, like, this is a great moment here, helping Triple H up and leaving together. But I think for me, like, I thought there was one too many ref bumps. I think one would probably have been enough in terms of Michaels. And I just thought that the overacting at Michaels at times took me out. where it was just like, dude, all right, relax. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm going. I don't know where you're going on that, but I think I'm based on that alone, like just those little things, those little nuances, Taker Michaels is moving on for me from 25.
I'm going to go the other way.
Wow.
And I'm going to say that I enjoyed this match a little bit better. I think it had more drama. It had more moments where I thought Undertaker might lose. And I remember, you know, as we watched it again, haven't watched this match probably since it happened, you know, back in 2012, and thinking the same thing then, like Undertaker might lose here. I just think the drama and the edge of your seat was a little bit better. So this would be my pick.
Yeah, see, like, I will say that, because it does have a legit moment, couple moments where it's like, yeah, he's going to lose. And I thought that too when I first watched it live. But then when you think about it too, I also thought, because I remember watching this with a few friends and former co-host Drew the Juice Man. I remember he was saying too, like, he's like, ah, man, Undertaker never loses at these things. He's going to win. He's like, ah, whatever. And I remember him not liking this match, not hating it, but not like really enjoying it. And I was like, dude, you're bugging, man. And I kind of get what he's saying in that case too. Like, it at this point in Undertaker's career, the streak was becoming a little predictable. Not that it takes away from this match, though. It does become this match. But, like, the surprise kick out of HBK in the 25 match was a little more, for me, impactful than the other one, the several near falls in this match. But that one where he hits the sweet chin music is very good. But I don't know, man. I just feel like when I'm going into these little things, it's just those little things that I'm just like, oh man, it's back and forth. Triple H with the killer wedgie here, by the way. Pretty funny. You would see later on in this in the Undertaker, one of his documentaries, which maybe Triple H's, as soon as they walk to the back, they get a standing ovation, and Undertaker goes out of ways to hug the three of them again, and Vince McMahon actually cries at the end of this match when he's like thanking them. It was pretty incredible. Man, this is tough. All right, so you're going one way, I'm going the other. Oof. And we can't use the Star Reese, they're the same. This is tough, man. This is tough.
I mean, I do enjoy this match better. You know, I am okay with Undertaker and Shawn Michaels moving on. I know that it gets all of the recognition ever since it happened. It is just a straight-up one-on-one wrestling match. I know a lot of fans and even insiders appreciate that a little bit more. I think I enjoyed watching these two back-to-back. I enjoyed Undertaker Triple H a little bit more because it had more just edge-of-your-seat moments.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to – for this one, I think I might reverse just because I think I agree with you in that respect, because you did say – watching them back to back, I enjoyed Triple H Undertaker a bit more, and I did as well. And I don't know what it is, because I can't really put my finger on it, on why. But watching them back to back, even in my head, I'm like, wow, I surprisingly enjoyed it a little bit better than Michael's Undertaker. But trying to be impartial, I'm trying to break it down to like it's like finest parts. Mm-hmm. But I am, you know what, for that sake. Because I do agree with you, Nessie. Undertaker and Triple H and the Venera match moves on. And that's surprising. That's an upset.
Yeah, we'll see what people, you know, those who are listening, we'll see what they say about that.
At Wrestling Guys PC, how do you feel about that? Are we off our rocker? Or do you agree? I mean, at Wrestling Guys PC, guys, let us know. Okay, moment of truth. We got our final two matches up. And we're not watching these matches again because we already saw them. So it's not happening. Stone Cold Steve Austin, Bret Hart, submission match, WrestleMania 13, end of an era, Triple H, Undertaker, Hell in a Cell. So two gimmick matches. Two special guest referees, right?
But two gimmick matches, they're not gimmick matches for the sake of being a gimmick match. There is a story behind it that makes it make sense. It's not like the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, where it's like, we have to have a Hell in a Cell match, so just throw these two guys in it. It's not like that.
Absolutely.
There's a purpose to it.
Yep.
So now if we're matching these two up, and I want to point out, again, that we got to these two matches based on how we set up the brackets, you know, pairing the generations together. And I'll just go ahead and give my pick. I'm not saying, you know, there's no wrong answer. This is all opinion, as we've been talking about with the ratings and how people rate things. Undertaker, Triple H, end of an era, Hell in a Cell, WrestleMania 28, based on how we set up our bracket, is the greatest WrestleMania match of all time.
Oof. Oh, I'm going the other way. I'm going WrestleMania 13, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Bret Hart, because, okay, end of an era match is fantastic. It is. It's a great, great match. It's a great, great match. Great storytelling. But you're not going to get any better, in my opinion anyway, than Bret Hart. But then Bret Hart with Stone Cold together is magic. And Bret Hart and Stone Cold in a submission match where Stone Cold's like, what the hell am I going to do in a submission match? That they pull off. And then they do the double turn on top of that. And then they have this great visual of Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's an iconic image for the rest of his career, of the blood when he comes up and pushes up. And he got over more in a loss than probably anybody maybe in the history of WWE. Again, strictly subjective. I don't know. To me, I think that wins because I think it has a better overarching story. I think it has a better payoff. And I think the fact that they accomplished more in the match. It's like end of an era was great, but like, the, you know, they kept stressing the fact that it was the end. And this was the start of Stone Cold's face turn because they pulled off, which, I mean, and I'm probably wrong when I'm saying this, but I don't think anyone has pulled off a better double switch than that right there, man.
And all that is true. You know, and the tough part about this is that I agree. And that's what makes this hard to, you know, to compare these matches. So if you, you know, you switch your choice before, so I'm willing to do it now and go and agree with you that, you know, I'm okay with Bret and Austin, but I just do, you know, I am a fan of what we just watched with Undertaker Triple H.
I think we might have to throw it out on Twitter, and I think the poll wins maybe.
Let's do that.
I think that should be a true tiebreaker. I say we run it through. And then whoever wins, I think we'll call it the greatest WrestleMania match. Because, I mean, we're going to split here. I think what I'm going to have to call it is I'm going to have to call it the time limit draw on this one. I think we're going to have to do it. Because, again, this is, what, 4 3/4 stars for because we've been doing, like, the star ratings as a tiebreaker up until this point. But this is 4 3/4 star, and I think Hart and Austin was 5 stars. So, awesome. But I think in this case, in the sake of fairness – because it is the last two matches. I think what we do is tomorrow morning, as you're listening to this, we're actually going to drop this a few days later than that, obviously. But we are going to put that poll out. And based off of that is where we get our winner.
All right.
I think that's how we're getting it down. And that's how we'll pick the two finals, because we're split. We split on this one, and I think it's very, very difficult. But I think for the sake of – I think for the sanctity of the brackets – we're gonna leave it to we'll leave it to the fans in this case, and I think that's the way we're gonna go here. Yeah, man, that was good. That was fun.
It sure was.
I think we need to set up some other stuff down the line. I mean, we do have WrestleMania Backlash coming up, whatever that means. You know, we have some other things down the pike. I think we got, you know, I like to, you know, if you have guys ideas similar to this, similar to any watch longs you want to talk about at Wrestling Guys PC, as usual, please let us know, and we want to hear who wins. So make sure you're giving us your votes, and letting us know what the deal is for sure. And in the meantime, what are you thinking? That's late. We're running out here. I'm running on fumes. I think we should wrap it up.
Yeah, we gotta wrap it up. It's very late. We both have work early in the morning.
Yeah, you know, I gotta go mold the young minds of tomorrow, and you know, I can't be falling asleep in front of the board. Actually, you know, whatever. Who cares? And they teach themselves at this point. Anyway, so as usual, we have at Wrestling Guys PC, at FPP Show. I saw you just dropped your new episode. Is this the one we've been waiting for?
It is. This is the Director's Cut episode. And, you know, we talk a lot about Justice League and just Director's Cut overall. So check that out wherever you listen to your podcast.
So you go ahead, you go download that wherever you get your podcast. And then you come and listen to us wherever else you get your podcast. As usual, thank you for downloading. Thank you for subscribing. Leave your 5-star reviews where you're at Wrestling Guys PC. Hit up at FPP Show. And in the meantime, this has been the Wrestling Guys Podcast. We're going to talk about wrestling drink some virtual beers. Just about all about virtual beers. I'm tired as hell. Let's get the Quint to seal the deal. Love you all. Stay safe. How you doing?